But it was indeed, it was a good meeting. Proverbs chapter 17, and we're going to notice verse 22. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22. We're really just going to mainly notice the second part of this verse. It says, "A merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bone." Look, chapter 18, verse 14. "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear?" Now let's look back to chapter 15. You get to see the route we're going to be taking tonight. Chapter 15, verse 13. "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance." Now we've preached on the first part of that, but not the second part. "By sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful we have this great honor today of being in your house and preaching your word. We pray your great blessings upon our meeting this evening, knowing, Father, that we can't accomplish anything without your unction. And we pray that you'd shut the world out and you'd come in and sup with us individually. And Father, we pray this message to be a comfort and a strength to everyone that's here. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We're going to title the message tonight, A Broken Spirit. A Broken Spirit. And I'll go ahead and give you my outline in advance because I only got one page. So one page, probably cut it down to 20 minutes, I figure. I really don't care how long it is, but I think that this is a message that we need to really bring a message on. And everybody, I think, at one time or the other, greatly needs it. A broken spirit. Now, the idea of a broken spirit, the idea of the word broken is a crushed spirit. If you look up what the meaning of the word is, that is the meaning, to have your spirit crushed. And what we're going to do is we're going to define what it is. We're going to define what a broken spirit is. Then I'm going to show you some causes, some of the things that causes people to have a broken spirit. I don't know. Have you ever had your spirit broken? Have you ever had your spirit broken? Well, you know what it feels like. This is something you feel. This is something that's inward. And it's actually when your spirit's broken, you can indeed feel it. So we'll look at the definition, and then we'll look at the causes. What causes a person to have a broken spirit? And then last of all, we'll look at helps. Some helps. When someone has a broken spirit, we'll look at what you need to do. We'll look at what you need to do if your spirit is broken. Sound interesting to you? I hope it does. If you don't need it tonight, you might need it tomorrow. If you don't need it tomorrow, you might need it next week. But everyone, at one time or the other, will have a broken spirit in this world, saved. Don't make any difference about you being saved. Saved people get broken spirits too. So that's what we're going to look at tonight. And let's go ahead and let's have a word of prayer before we begin again. My Father, we're thankful that we have this great privilege and have been a part of this church. And Lord, we're thankful for what you've done here, and we're thankful that for everyone that's here tonight. We pray for the young people that's next door being taught. And Lord, we pray that you'd open their understanding to your word. That's the next group to step up. And well, Lord, we pray that you would help them to be able to make that transition one day. Father, we pray your blessings upon the Elizabeth Baptist Church. We pray that we'd see souls saved, people added. We pray for all the different functions that we do here, the internet ministry, the radio broadcast, ladies' fellowship, men's fellowship. And we pray for all the classes that are taught. Pray for Taze Valley Baptist College also, Lord, that you continue to bless it. And Father, as we begin in this preaching part of this message, we pray that, Father, that you would bless in Jesus' name. Amen. A broken spirit. Let's go ahead and begin by giving you a definition of what a broken spirit is. Number one, it is to be overwhelmed. It is to be overwhelmed with sorrow. Now, you could really stop with that definition, but I'm going to give you a little bit more to go along with that. It is to be, basically, to be overwhelmed. To be overwhelmed with sorrow. To have a broken spirit is essentially the same thing as having a broken heart. If you have a broken spirit, then guess what you have? then you also have a broken heart. It's also related. It's also related to depression, because those that have a broken spirit are usually always severely depressed to go along with it. So all these wordings, depression, crushed spirit, broken heart, broken spirit, that's pretty much they're all related. All God's people say it. So that's what we're going to be talking a little bit about tonight. That's the definition of it. Let me show you what it looks like. You probably already know what it feels like, right? You know what it feels like? I figure everybody in here knows what it feels like. But let me show you what it looks like in the Bible. What we often used to say when I was growing up, you're not the Lone Ranger. Everybody at one time or the other has had a broken spirit for one reason or another. 1 Kings chapter 19, let me give you an example of what it looks like. Just an example. Now, this might not take long. I don't know. You realize that don't mean nothing. But 1 Kings chapter 19, and let's notice what it looks like. Elijah is one of my heroes in Scripture. I mean, you talk about a man of God, Elijah indeed was. He went up on Mount Carmel, and he faced down 450 prophets of false prophets of Jezebel, 400 prophets of the grove. He challenged the prophets of Baal to a contest. And whoever, they set up two altars and put their sacrifices on it, and he challenged them. He said, you pray, and I'll pray, and we'll see whose God answers by fire. Sounds like a pretty good, I done a sermon on it and called it the contest at Carmel. That's where it was at. He called them out. Took a lot of courage to do that. You know how many prophets of God there was there that day? There's one. There's just one. 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of the groves. He challenges them. Public challenge. Says, Baal's God, serve him. But if Jehovah be God, then serve him. So he challenges them to a contest. Well, you know the story. The prophets of Baal prayed for hours and they cut themselves. You talk about sincerity. You have true worship, you've got to have more than sincerity, you also have to have truth, don't you? They cut themselves for hours, jumped up and down, cried out for Baal to bring fire down, and guess what happened? Absolutely nothing, because he's a false god. He wasn't true. All the sincerity in the world doesn't make up if you don't have truth, and he didn't have truth. Well, buddy, I tell you, it wasn't enough for Elijah. He went over and they poured several drums full of water on his altar. And the sacrifice that was there, and he prayed out to the Lord, and God, boom, sent down fire right out of heaven, burn up the altar, licked up all the water in the ditch and everything. I mean, it just was an awesome illustration of the power of God, and the Lord blessed Elijah that day. Well, you followed that up. You talk about being on a roll. He followed that up. He prayed and didn't rain for 3.5 years. So he followed this up by going to the Lord and asking the Lord to send the rain. And the Lord sent rain after a 3.5 year drought. And boy, you talk about, you know how he followed that up? He told Ahab that the sound of rain is coming. And it began to rain. And he was in his chariot with a horse. And that chariot and horse was going back towards where the palace was at. And if I remember right, he ran in front of that chariot. And it's about a 20-mile run. All the way up to where Jezebel's palace and Ahab's palace was at. That's what he did. He was on a roll, wasn't he? I mean, think about it. Prayed fire down out of heaven. Prayed and the Lord send rain. Run in front of a chariot for about 20 miles. It's drawn by a horse, pulled by a horse. He was on a roll. But you know what happened to him? I don't know. I think what happened is he's got his hopes high. I think he thought all of that would change people's hearts. But I want you to notice something. All the miracles in the world won't change a person's heart unless the Holy Spirit changes their heart. Amen. I don't care what they see done. I want you to hear me. I don't care what they see done. It'll make no difference to them unless they have a heart change. All God's people said. You remember that. Only the Holy Spirit can make and awaken a sinner out of their deadness. What the Bible says, before we was born again, we were dead in trespasses and sins. You hath he quickened, Ephesians 2:1 says, who were dead in trespasses. So Elijah was outside the door somewhere where he could hear. Old Ahab went in and told what all had happened. And you know what Jezebel said? She wanted to nail his hide to the wall. And this, for some reason, just broke him. And he lost his courage. And he lost his heart. And when you study the scriptures, he went about 100 miles from that spot. And it wasn't far enough. Once he went to a certain spot, then he went out into the wilderness, a day's journey or more. You have to read the text. I wasn't planning on going this far into it, but I just want to tell you about it. But he went on out into the wilderness. You know what he ended up doing? He crawled up underneath a broom tree, and he wished to die. That fast. Elijah had a broken spirit. I'm going to tell you something tonight. If Elijah the prophet, you know, the Lord brought him to heaven in a whirlwind. If that can happen to Elijah the prophet, then it can happen to you. And it did. It just broke his spirit. Watch this now. Here's what he did, a little bit of information. 1 Kings chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Of course, Elijah didn't do it. The Lord did it through Elijah. Never forget that. And withal, he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more so, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. In other words, about tomorrow at this time, you'll be dead around 24 hours, you know. He intended to kill him. When he saw that, he arose, and he went for his life to Beersheba. That's Jezreel is where they were at. Beersheba is 100 miles away. He ran that. He didn't take a bus. He didn't ride a horse. He ran that. Yep, he did. Verse 4 says, he went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and he sat down under the juniper tree, and he requested that he might do what? Want to die. That's what's dangerous about a broken spirit, because when you have a broken spirit, it'll make you want to die. That's what it'll do. When you see someone that gets it, that's why I said it's associated with depression. When you have a broken spirit, you're usually depressed too. And when you get that way, then you want to do what? What did he say here? He requested that he might what? He wanted to die. He didn't want to live anymore. Why? His spirit was broke. His spirit was broke, sorely depressed. And notice what he says there. He said, it's enough. You ever said it? I've had enough. This is enough. I just can't take no more. Basically, it is enough now. Oh, Lord, take away my life. Now, you notice he didn't take his own life. He requested the Lord to take his life. See the difference? See the difference in that? Well, when you look at this man right here, that's what a broken spirit looks like. I went through all of that to show you what it looked like. And then you can look at that, then you can kind of see what it probably felt like, a broken spirit. Okay? Now, let's talk about some of the causes. You got the definition, you know what it is. Now let's talk about some of the causes. Let me mention something before we go on. You got to be on the lookout. One good thing about being a part of a church is one another can watch after one another. And when you sense that happening in somebody, man, it's good to make a call. It's good to send a card. It's good to make some kind of contact, because it makes a difference sometimes in people's lives. I mean, the Lord didn't make us, we're individuals, but he established a church, which is an assembly. That's why the Bible says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the habit of some is. Because God's people need other people. And what happens is when one gets weak, the other can help the other one up a bit. See what I mean? You want to say it like this? We're like a team. Have you ever been part of a team? Have you ever been part of a good team? You know, a good team, every member helps try to raise the other member up for one common goal. And that's how it's supposed to be in the Lord's church. Okay, so in this particular text, he said it is a what? It is enough. It is enough. So the first cause now we want to talk about, what causes it? Number one is when things don't turn out like you plan. You set your plans down, what you're going to do, and you get high hopes about how this thing's going to turn out. And guess what? Things don't always turn out like you plan. I think Elijah thought that this would have led to a revival amongst the king, Ahab, and Jezebel. He probably had high hopes after all these great things has happened. Surely this will be a change in Jezebel and Ahab. Surely it'll lead to their conversion after hearing a fire falling down, praying and rain coming. It had no impact. Things didn't turn out like he planned. And one of the causes of a broken spirit is when things don't turn out like you planned, like you thought. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 13. Let me give you another text to go along with that. You ever had things not turn out like you planned? Did it suck the spirit out of you? Did it bring you down? Did it hurt? Did you get discouraged? It happens. It happens. Proverbs 13. Hope this is the right verse. It says, hope deferred. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. What's hope deferred? Boy, you ever get your hopes up on something? Have you ever got your hopes real big about something going to happen? And then only to have it not pan out at all. And then you thought, well, I had such high. And when it didn't pan out and that hope was deferred and things didn't turn out like you planned, then the result of that many times is a broken spirit. I mean, I've had plans before. How about you? I had plans of how everything was going to be. Everything's going to be. And none of them turned out right. And many times when it happens that way, what do? It breaks your spirit. And why does it break you? It didn't turn out like you thought. You ever have a broken spirit because things didn't turn out like you thought? If you don't care, would you raise your hand if you've ever experienced it? Is it everybody? It just didn't turn out like you planned, and it crushed your... And the idea of a broken spirit is what? It crushed your spirit. It's crushed you. Man, I went and talked to people before, and they said, Jeff, I surely didn't think. I had such high hopes, and nothing panned out the way I thought it would be. Well, we're looking at causes. We're looking at causes of a broken spirit. Number one, things not turning out like you planned. Number two. Second cause of a broken spirit is any kind of loss. Losses. And it could be the loss of a job. A person could have a job for years. Now, I've lost, how many jobs have I? I've been thrown out everywhere I've ever worked at. I worked at one job a long time and it shut down. Then I worked at another job for a long time and it shut down. And then nobody would hire me because everywhere I go, places shut down. No, I just kidding. Anyhow, and it's hard. Now, you get your routine. You know what I mean? You get your routine down. You're used to going to work. The people you work with gets to be like family to you. I'm serious. You know what I'm saying? They get to be like family to you. And all of a sudden, that family's broken. And then you're thrown in disarray, and you got to do what all over. And ain't nobody likes to start all over again. Ain't nobody likes it. I certainly don't like it. Any kind of loss can break your spirit. Number two, loss of health. I mean, you take somebody and they're healthy, and then their health begins to to go south, so to speak. That can also be a cause of having a broken spirit. I've visited people before, and they're sorely ill. And many times they have a broken what? They have a broken spirit. They want someone to pray with them. They need to encourage. They need to see somebody that cares about them. See? But they have a broken what again? They have a broken spirit. They sure do. And what caused it? It's their health caused it. I will tell you something. I walk out Plymouth Holler and I thank God all the way out through there that I'm able to walk it. I know people pay $1 million or more to be able to walk that holler. Man, we got to learn to be thankful for the simple, priceless is what I like to call it. Yeah. To be thankful for the simple, priceless. You take somebody that can't walk, what would they pay to be able to walk out Plymouth Hollow? What would they pay? What would it be worth to them to be able to just park, get out with a stick and a gun? You better take that. I've been running into a lot of snakes. And go out Plymouth Hollow. It'd be a great blessing to them just to be able to do that. Loss of job, loss of health, loss of a loved one. Loss of a loved one. Man, that breaks your spirit. These are things that, what I'm doing, I'm giving you things that breaks your spirit. You lose a loved one, it will break your spirit. Even when you know where they're at, it still breaks your spirit because you miss them being here. Sometimes, how can I say this? Sometimes you can minimize people's losses. I know where they're at, but I sure do miss them here. You see where we're coming from? So don't minimize that. It's a comfort. Oh my, it's a comfort. Man, when you don't know where they're at, that's really a disastrous thing. But you know where they're at, that's a great comfort to you and a great blessing. But you miss them here. But you miss them here. Any kind of loss will break your spirit. Even though they were saved, which is a great comfort, if you're not careful, it'll really, really, really break your spirit. We're talking about things that where the message is entitled A Broken Spirit. We're looking at things that does so. One of those things that breaks your spirit, loss of job, loss of health or well-being. Number three, loss of a loved one, a divorce. I had someone tell me one time, Jeff, they said, Jeff, it's worse than a death because I still see him. That's what they say. It's worse than a death because I still see him. I still maybe cared for them, but it's broke and it just devastates their life. And it breaks their spirit. I've seen people go through divorces, and one of the hardest losses this side of glory other than death itself is that. It breaks your spirit. Broken spirit dries the bone, the scripture says. And then the sixth, that's, let me see, job, health, loved ones, divorce. These are losses. It causes your spirit to break. And then the next loss is a loss of fellowship with God. When you're born again, you'll never be happy unless you have a good fellowship with your Father. That sounds like an oversimplification, but it's exactly true. There ain't nothing like having fellowship with the Lord. And He can give you a joy and a peace right in the midst of a mess. He can give you comfort that no one else in this side of glory can give you. And fellowship with the Lord is sweet. You lose fellowship with God, it crushes you. Look at Psalms 51 real fast. Boy, it's taking far too long. I've even put it on one page to be short, which means absolutely nothing. Right. Psalms 51. Am I speaking to anybody tonight? Psalms 51, verse 8. David was in sin. And Psalms 51 is the psalm that David wrote after the Lord began to straighten him out. Now, I want you to look at the heading. Everybody see the heading? It says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. This was the song he wrote on this occasion. So he had been out. Hey, listen. He had been out of fellowship with the Lord for about 9 months. He had been in sin. And yet the Lord didn't leave him there, and the Lord won't. He sent him a prophet. And boy, that prophet pointed him out, buddy. You're the man. Told him a parable, and then he said, you're the one. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. And buddy, the Lord was merciful to him. He set him back. Set him back aright. Now, he paid for what he did. Boy, did he ever. The chastening rod of God came on his life, and it was devastating, the things that he went through. I ain't got time to go into them. But he says here in this text that I want you to see that his bones were crushed. I mean, the Lord just crushed him. Verse 8, look at verse 8, Psalms 51, verse 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let me say it one more time. Make me to hear joy and why did he say that? He didn't have joy and gladness no more. Was he saved? Yep. Was he not where he needed to be? Yep. That's why he didn't have no joy. That's why he didn't have no gladness. I'm going to tell you something. If you're truly born again, and you ain't right and close in a good fellowship with your God, nothing this side of glory will make you happy. Because there ain't nothing satisfies a child of God like fellowship with their Father. That's where the love and joy is at. The sooner you learn that, the better off you'll be. I've talked to, Pastor, let me tell you why. You don't ever spend no time with Jesus. You don't ever read His book. You don't ever talk to Him. You don't ever come to His house. That's why you're in the shape you're in. Fellowship with the Lord is where joy's at after you're born again. That's where it's at. You ain't going to get it in the world when you're born again. If you drift into sin, the Lord will bring His chastening hand down and you won't be happy till you're back in a fellowship with Him. I'm going to tell you, the master will take you to the woodshed. He believes in whipping. He believes in whipping. And he, don't you think, my friends, he won't do it. He will. What's the causes of a broken spirit? Things not turning out like you planned. Any kind of loss. Job loss, health loss, loved one, divorce, that's a loss, great loss. Fellowship, loss of fellowship with God. Now we know what we're talking about, right? We know what a broken spirit is. Everyone of here tonight has felt it. You can feel a broken spirit. You want to get rid of it, don't you? Well, let's go ahead and show you what you need to do when your spirit's broken. Things you can do when your spirit's broken. Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Second Samuel chapter 12, and let's look down. We're going to begin at verse 19. David, of course, he committed adultery. Bathsheba was another man's wife. And from that affair, if you want to call it that, she became pregnant. So they couldn't hide the sin. It would be evident to everybody what had happened. Old Testament law was plain. I mean, that wasn't only a sin against God, that was a sin against the state too. You read Old Testament law, that was punishable by death. It really was. So you talk about being in a pickle. He was. He covered it up. Stayed that way for a while. About 9 months, this man of God was out of fellowship with the Lord. And then Nathan come and he approached him and called him out on his sin, and David repents. But there was chastening involved. And what happened, go ahead and look at this text, was it's frightening. And when David saw that his servants whispered, now he had been laying on his face, the child was ill. The little babe was ill. Ain't nothing any more heartbreaking to hear me than to see a baby ill. My little grandson, around a month old, got sick. I thought I'd die. Had a blocky shoe to him, and man, oh man, I thought about David right there. I thought about him. I thought, man, no wonder he was laying on his face. That's what I felt like doing. I prayed to high heavens now when that little boy was sick. The Lord brought him out of it, though. Guess what happened to David's son? He dies. This little baby dies. But from this text comes one of the most comforting texts for anyone that's ever lost a child. Notice what it says. Notice David's response. David rose, verse 20, from off the earth. He washed and he anointed himself. See, he'd been laying in the dust. He hadn't washed or anything. He rose from off the earth. He washed, anointed himself, changed his apparel, put on clean clothes, came into the house of God. Notice what it says. He came to the house of the Lord. What did he do? Y'all think he's crazy? He went to the house of God and he did what? He worshiped. Did y'all think that was a tremendous way to respond? That's key. See, we're looking at helps for a broken spirit. The first help for a broken spirit is doing just exactly what David did right here. He went to the house of God and he did what? That's where he got strength at. When you have a broken spirit, people have a tendency to stay away from the house of God when their spirit's broken. Did you hear what I just said? Do you agree with me? People have a tendency because you don't feel like coming. You feel like sitting in the dark and looking at the ceiling, I guess. But that don't help you none. David went to the house of God and he did what? Worshipped. What in the world did he have to worship for? I'm asking. What did he have to worship for? Well, he had a big thing to worship for, and I want you to look down in the text. Let's go ahead and get verse 21. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while he was alive. But when the child was dead, then you arose and ate bread. And he said, while the child was alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore shall I fast? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. What was his comfort? You know, he'd see that little baby again. That's why I said, that's why out of this disaster come one of the most comforting texts for anyone that's ever lost a child. This is the text. I've done services such as that, one of the hardest services you'll ever do. But the comfort is, he shall not return to me, but one day I'll go to him. So, what did David have to worship about? That's my question. What did David have to go to the house of God and worship about? Somebody tell me. Gonna see him again. The separation was only temporary. And in a little while, he'd see him again. That's what matters most. God's people, I want you to hear this. Never say goodbye for the last time. Never. It's just a goodbye for now. I'll see you later. All God's people say it. That's what it means to have victory over death right there. If I've crossed Jordan next week or the week after, come and visit me. I guess come see my old dead carcass if you want. But we'll see each other again in a little while. We'll spend eternity together. Let me say it one more time. We'll spend forever together. Hey, what's people that don't have that got? Nothing. Nothing matters, brother. Well, does that help a broken spirit when you go to the house of the Lord? If you ever come to the house of the Lord and as a result of the message, as a result of a song, as a result of someone hugging you, or as a result of someone saying a kind word to you, have you ever been lifted up from going to God's house? That's one, when you have a broken spirit, that's what you need to do. And hear me, sometimes you've got to make yourself come. You have to make yourself. I don't have to make myself because y'all would fire me if I didn't come. But sometimes you have to make yourself come. And buddy, when you do, you'll come and the Lord will lift you up. It might be a song, it might be a hug, it might be a handshake, it might be the message. The public worship. That's what David did. Let's get the second help. We're looking at helps for a broken heart. First help is go to the house of God. Don't run away from it. That just makes it, well, isolate you. It takes you away from your strength and your power source. Number two, these are four do's. I forgot to tell you, four do's, not mountain do's, four do's. Do go to the house of God and worship. Don't forsake it. Number two, do go to the Lord in prayer. Do go to the Lord in prayer. Don't wait to do that. I don't know how many people I have, well, have you prayed? No. You haven't. You know you can do that, right? You're saved. That's the first thing you should do, is go to the Lord. Go to the head of the stream. Go to the source of comfort. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. I'm right on task now. Hebrews chapter 4. Helps for a broken heart. We're looking at four do's. Do go to God's house. Don't stay home. Do go to the Lord in prayer. Don't forsake praying. You need to pray. Verse 15 and 16 of Hebrews 4, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's touched with your hurts. There's an old hymn that, does Jesus care? You ever heard it? How many of you have ever heard that old hymn, Does Jesus Care? One? Oh, my, that's horrible. We'll have to dig that one up somewhere, Bertha. The song says, Does Jesus Care? Then the chorus says, He cares. Yes, I know He cares. Ain't nobody cares like Him. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Look at verse 16. Here's the second do. Let us therefore, since He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, since He loves and cares for us, He said, let us therefore go boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. What's grace mean here? Strength. Strength to help in time of need. So the second do you need to do is to go to the Lord in prayer. You know to. He says to come boldly. You have a right to be there. He purchased you that right. He wants to hear from you. He wants you to come. And you know what He can do if you go? He'll strengthen your spirit. How many times can you ask somebody to say, you say, well, have you prayed yet? They'll look at you in that deer in the headlight look, and you know they didn't. No, I haven't prayed. There's your power source. Go to the Lord. When you feel it, do you feel burdens? You feel it. Get alone with the Lord and pray. Help for a broken spirit is do go to God's house. Do go to the Lord in prayer. Number three, let's go to Proverbs 17. I'm doing good. Proverbs 17. It's for anybody tonight, I hope. For anybody. I'm going to tell you, if you don't need it tonight, you're going to need it eventually before this whole life's done. Proverbs 17. It says a friend loves at all times. You know, a friend will love you even when you ain't very lovable. It's a real friend. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Here's the third do. Go to a mature spiritual brother or sister in Christ. When your spirit's broken, go to a mature. Don't go to a backslidden Christian. They ain't going to help you. Go to a mature spiritual man of God, woman of God, and talk to them. They'll pray with you. They'll pray with you. They'll listen to you. They'll hug you. They'll encourage you. Go to a mature spiritual brother or sister in Christ. Sometimes you just need somebody to talk to. Of course, you talk to the Lord. Sometimes you need somebody in that thing with you. I've had people come and say, Jeff, I just need a friend. I just need somebody. I said, well, I want to be that. And I'll check on you if it'll be all right. Yeah, I'd like for you to do that. Now, you call me when you feel low. Yes, I will. See, help them through it. That might be used in that shape. Next. Go to mature spiritual brother and sister. Don't withdraw from your brothers and sisters. These are do's for a help for a broken heart. Three do's we've looked at. Go to God's house. Don't forsake it. You need to go to church, man. There'll be messages that the Lord has right from the pulpit for you. You'll think, surely He knowed something. Didn't know it. The Lord knew it. Just prepared it. Might be somebody here that'll give you an encouraging word. Might be a song that raises you up. Just feels good to be with God's people in God's house. Uplifting. Do go to the Lord in prayer. When you feel it in your heart and you feel the broken spirit, that's when you know to get alone with Jesus. That should be an alarm that goes off. Time to get alone with Jesus. Pour it out down to Him. You'll feel better when you do it already. Number three, go to a mature spiritual brother or sister. It can encourage you and give you some passages of Scripture to read. Number four, do remember God's promises. Whew. Do remember God's promises. Hebrews 13:5, He says, I will never leave you. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. I can't tell you that. No man can. God will never leave you. Even when you ain't so peachy, He'll still never leave you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I won't do it. So that's His promise. It's all through Scripture. Book of Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Let's go ahead and turn to that text. Fear thou not, I'll be with thee. Be not dismayed, I'm thy God. I'll strengthen thee, I'll help thee. I'll strengthen thee, I'll help thee. Yea, I will hold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. He said, I am what? I'm with thee. Told Joshua the same thing. He said, fear not, for the Lord thy God is with you whithersoever you go. Is that a great promise? Then you're not alone, are you? You're not alone. Promise number two, Romans 8:28 says, for we know, not we think, we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to His purpose. Y'all believe that? I'm asking. Because eventually what you're going to do is go, I don't know how in the world this could be for the good. Ain't up to you to figure it out. God just tells you it is and does. And that comforts you just knowing it. I can't explain it. I don't understand it. Poor Joseph's life looked like a complete mess. Didn't it? Got lied on for doing good. Got thrown in prison. Brothers wanted to kill him. Got thrown in a pit. They intended to come back and kill him before they figured out they could sell him and make money off of him. Can you imagine going up to that pit and look over there and saying, now all things are working together for the good, Joseph? Let me ask you a question. Did it? Let me ask you one more time. Did it? Yeah, God put him just exactly where he wanted him. He wanted him in Egypt. He eventually had to put him in prison so he'd get elevated to interpret Pharaoh's dream, where he ended up being second in command running all of Egypt. And guess what happened? When that great famine came, which would have destroyed Israel, only 70 Jews. The nation was just getting started. God knew all of that was coming. He put his man at the place that he needed him to have. And all of them bad events worked together for the good. And here's what I'm going to try to tell you. The same God is sovereign over your life too. And so that even the bad works together for the good. And I don't have to be able to explain it. Clarence, I just trust it. Lord, I don't know. And that just gives me peace. I said, Lord, I don't like this much. I wished it wasn't this. I said that just the other day when I was walking. I said, Lord, I don't like this. But I know that there's a good purpose for it. And I'm just going to trust you till I figure it out one of these days. And if I don't, I'll trust you till the day I die. It gives you strength. You trust His sovereignty. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, Proverbs 3:5 says, and lean not to your own understanding. What do I always tell you when I read that? How's that leaning thing working for you? Leaning thing just makes you tore up all the time. Quit leaning and trust. Can't explain it? Don't have to. I just know God said it and I believe it. Do remember God's promise, God's with you, God's sovereignty, that God works things out for the good for those that love Him. Remember, for every thorn that God permits in your life, He'll supply sufficient grace to be able to handle it. Let me say that one more time. For every thorn that God allows in your life, I don't know what that thorn might be, He'll supply you sufficient grace to be able to hold it. So he told Paul. Paul had a thorn, they say, is his eyesight. I don't. Nobody knows. It was a hard thing. It's something that he wanted rid of. That's why I called it a what? A thorn is something that hurts and it sticks you. I don't know what his was, but he wanted rid of it. And he asked the Lord 3 times to take it away. You know what the Lord said? You know, I ain't taking it away. You need that thorn. Because of all the visions and all the knowledge and all this that you have, he'd been prone to being what? Prideful. God gave him that thorn to keep him what? Humble. Arrogance will kill your ministry. God had a purpose for the what? God always has a purpose for thorns. And for every thorn he gives you, are you listening to me? He'll give you sufficient grace to handle it. You say, oh, I can't handle this. God's grace, you can do anything. Number 4, this is the last promise we're going to look at. Good thing I just used one page, wasn't it? Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things. See, there's no limit on that. It didn't say I can do some things. It says I can do all things. Y'all believe it? I can do all things. I want you to get it off the page into your heart. I can do all things through Christ, which does what? Strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I got to stop. Message was entitled A Broken Spirit. We give you the definition of it. But we also give you four do's. Do go to God's house. Do go to the Lord in prayer. Do go to a mature spiritual brother and sister. And do remember God's promises. All God's people said, let's all stand. Thank you.